Good morning and welcome to Q95's morning news for today, Monday, 27th April 2015. I am your presenter, Angelo Allen. This morning's news package is brought to you through the kind compliments of Fast Cash and Rudolph Thomas Enterprise. In the headlines, Dominica's Cooperative Society League shows historical growth. Cayman Island Prime Minister heads to court and over 3,200 people dead in Nepal's volcanic eruption. Details coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
$1,000 can be yours.
I need fast cash to get me started, cause I want to get ahead in life. No matter what the problem, fast cash can solve it. Fast cash will make it right. Fast cash!
Fast cash! Your money, your way.
In the news, the Dominica Cooperative Societies League currently has a penetration level of 96% from a population of 70,000, something outgoing President Dexter Dukre considers a model and envy of many countries around the world. The outgoing president says significant growth momentum has been noted in the league's operations on island. Dukre was addressing the 59th annual general meeting of the Cooperative League held on Saturday, 25th April 2015. He said at the end of 2014, the surplus generated by the league increased by 8.9% from $4.4 million to $4.795 million. According to Mr. Dukre, the league's asset base grew by 9.1% from $577.8 million to $630 million. He added that member credit unions also mobilized over $384 million in savings and deposits from a membership total of 67,105. According to Dukre, since May of 1951, when the Rosa Cooperative Credit Union began its operations, the credit union movement has grown from strength to strength. However, the outgoing president noted that despite their notable success, credit unions are experiencing some challenges. He identified some of these challenges as shifting regulatory issues, mobile technologies, and youth membership. The AGM's theme is reinforcing the cooperative principles. Police has confirmed the death of a Grand Four man following a traffic accident, which police PRO ASP Claude Weeks said took place in the vicinity of Corona. According to Weeks, on Wednesday, April 22nd, at about 7:15 p.m., Wilson Casimir, male, 46, of Castle Bruce, was driving from Roseau to his community when his vehicle inadvertently struck a pedestrian. The victim was later identified as Clifton Abraham of Grandfort. Abraham was transported to the Princess Margaret Hospital emergency, where he was admitted with serious injuries to the head and legs. He later succumbed to his injuries. On Friday, Abraham's relatives said that they have not received information from the police on the accident and are demanding an investigation. However, ASP Weeks said now that he has received information on the matter, the family will be informed accordingly. A 9-member jury of 8 women and 1 man will today decide the fate of Kenrick Tyson, who is charged for the 2009 murder of Cecil James at Hibiscus Inn in Concord. Tyson was found guilty of the offense of murder in 2011 and jailed for life, but the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court on appeal overturned the conviction, ordering a retrial, citing major errors by the trial judge. Day 4 and 5 of the retrial saw the recalling of investigating officer Inspector Romel Revere by the jury, who sought further clarifications on certain matters. The police witness was questioned about clothing that he had taken from the victim's aunt's residence. The defense then argued that based on the evidence, the state did not prove its case and asked for a no-case submission. After listening to the various arguments, Judge Errol Thomas ruled that there was enough evidence for a jury to make a decision. The no-case submission was subsequently thrown out. Former parliamentary representative for the La Plaine constituency, Ron Green, is advocating for some radical reform and strengthening of the Electoral Commission. Green says this institution must be robust enough to ensure that the independence given it through the Constitution remains intact and not to be manipulated or directed by any ruling government. The former minister is lamenting this point as two United Workers Party nominees, Hilary Shillingford and Wayne James, were sworn in by the president of Dominica last Thursday. He says, contrary to the purpose for which the commission was established, it has been manipulated and misdirected at the whim of politicians, which he says must not be permitted to continue.
Has to have the strength to be able to take its responsibility seriously and ensure that they are implemented. We have seen shifting of the nominees to the commission with a view to manipulate the commission. We saw that happen. We have seen the government refuse to provide financial resources requested by the commission in order to be able to try to implement one of the electoral reform requests that UWP has been championing since 2005, that is the voter ID cards. And basically, I think we have seen a lack of intestinal fortitude on the part of the commissioners to be able to insist that the mandate given to it by the Constitution is in place so that it can perform its function. I mean, so I just wanted to point that out because I think that institution is very important in the business of ensuring democratic elections, ensuring that that we in the country have the fairness that we expect from our institutions.
Attorney at law Ronald Charles says there are a number of areas within Dominica's judicial system which must be addressed to be able to affirm that the rule of law exists. According to Charles, Dominica's judicial system is supposed to be able to carry out its functions without interference. Among its responsibilities, he said, is to promote greater fairness and adaptability within the legal system. Charles says, however, a holistic survey of the system reveals a number of areas where the judicial reform project is not being fully embraced.
So it means therefore, if this man who is at the higher end of something does something wrong, he should be taken before the court. Similarly, If the man who swept the road does something wrong, he should be taken to the court equally in the fairness of the rule of law. And here it is, we have to ask whether or not the society that we live in has embraced the purpose of the judicial and legal reform project. Whether or not the government that exists have embraced it in all its ingredients. Whether or not we are able to move forward on a system that we all feel is fair and justice will prevail. So there's a lot of hiccups going on as it relates to that, okay? And therefore, our focus should be looking at these judiciary system, looking at the legal reform project, and trying to ensure that people live beyond happiness.
In other news, Cayman Islands Premier Alden McLaughlin is turning to the courts for the second round in a fight with former Premier and now opposition leader Makiva Bush over controversial allegations of a conspiracy to oust Bush from office. The Premier, who is also an attorney at law, has demanded a public apology from Bush and a retraction of the conspiracy allegations he has categorically refuted. McLaughlin's lawyers have also issued a warning to local media not to repeat the allegations made by Bush, otherwise they too could be sucked into the legal battle. A private member's motion, which has been tabled in the Legislative Assembly and accepted by the Speaker, calling for an independent public inquiry into an alleged conspiracy to oust Bush from office, is defamatory, McLaughlin's lawyers have said. A letter has reportedly been sent to Bush, giving him until May 1st to respond and demanding a retraction of the allegations made in the motion and that the apology be published in the press. From Georgetown, Guyana, the Caribbean community CARICOM is moving forward from the recent CARICOM U.S. summit with seed funding for a sustainable energy program. U.S. officials say the immediate funding is a commitment to help fast-track ICT development and continued support for established U.S. CARICOM security partnerships. U.S. President Obama recently announced the provision of $20 million in initial funding for a sustainable energy initiative that should also include a task force on renewable energy to assist with creating the much-needed regulatory framework for the sector. The U.S. also expressed a willingness to work bilaterally with member states to help leverage private sector investments to build on the initial funding. From Panama City, while criminal charges against former heads of state are rare in the U.S., they are not unknown, especially when Panama is involved. There have been rumors that former President Martinelli is under indictment for money laundering there, that's in the U.S. Martinelli pointedly sent his private jet into and through the U.S., while his supporters were advising the media that he was in America. Yet, he was not on board, nor did he arrive in Miami on that plane, which continued on to Europe, reports have said. And Mr. Martinelli has engaged in a campaign of disinformation regarding his whereabouts, leading to speculation that he is afraid of arrest and extradition to the United States. From Kingston, Jamaica, Tourism and Entertainment Minister Dr. Wykeham McNeil has welcomed the entry into the Jamaica's tourism market of the largest Spanish hotel chain, Melia Hotels and Resorts. The company has signed a 15-year lease agreement with the government through the National Insurance Fund, which owns the property, to manage the former Braco Village Resort in Trelawny. It will be known as the Melia Braco Village when it reopens in December of this year. Speaking at the groundbreaking event for the launch of the resort, at Braco on Friday, McNeil said Melia's entry into the island is a show of confidence in Jamaica and in brand Jamaica. He added that Melia is entering Jamaica when the tourism sector is on a high, with hotels reporting very good occupancy levels. From Nepal, at least 3,218 people are now known to have died in a massive earthquake which hit Nepal on Saturday. Ramshwar Dangal, head of Nepal's disaster management agency, said another 6,500 people had been injured. Dozens of people are also reported to have been killed in neighboring China and India. Thousands have spent a second night outside after the 7.8 magnitude quake, which also triggered deadly avalanches of Mount Everest. Vast tent cities have sprung up in Nepal's capital, Kathmandu, for those displaced or afraid to return to their homes as strong aftershocks continue. Rescue missions and aid have started arriving to help cope with the aftermath of the worst earthquake to hit Nepal for more than 80 years, efforts to dig victims out from under the rubble of collapsed buildings in Kathmandu continued throughout Sunday night. Meanwhile, officials have warned that the number of casualties could rise as rescue teams reach remote mountainous areas of western Nepal. From Chile, the Chilean authorities have warned of further eruptions at the Calbuco volcano in southern Chile, which erupted twice last week during a lull in its activity. Most airports in Chile and neighboring Argentina reopened. They were closed because of the tons of fine volcanic ash thrown into the atmosphere. More than 6,000 people living close to the volcano have been evacuated. Scientists say they are also concerned that rain expected to fall in the next few days could mix with the ash to form dangerous mudslides. Calbuco is estimated to have spewed out 210 million cubic meters or 7,420 million cubic feet of ash. From Canada, people with lower back problems are more likely to have a spine similar in shape to the chimpanzee, our closest ape ancestor. A lesion which forms in the disc between the bones of the spine is the reason for the differing shape. According to scientists, it would have caused the vertebrae to change as humans evolved from using four legs to two legs. The researchers say their findings could help doctors predict who may be at risk of back problems. The study, published in BMC Evolutionary Biology, involved scientists from Scotland, Canada, and Iceland. The research team analyzed the vertebrae of chimpanzees, orangutans, and ancient human skeletons to investigate the relationship between the shapes of the bones of the spine, upright movement, and the health of the human spine. Professor Mark Collard from the University of Aberdeen and the Simon Fraser University in Canada said they provided valuable insights into our ancestors' health and lifestyle. And this is where we come to the end of our morning news package for today, Monday, April 27, 2015. This morning's news package is brought to you through the kind compliments of Fast Cash and Rudolph Thomas Enterprise. But let's take a look at the headlines once again. Dominica's Cooperative Society League shows historical growth. Cayman Island Premier heads to court, and over 3,200 people dead in Naples volcanic eruption. I am Angelo Allen.